Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, if you were listening just a couple minutes ago, we're talking to Nate Zielinski. I'm going to bring him back up. And Nate, with this weather we had last week, I didn't know whether to think about taking my boat out or make sure my ice fishing stuff was ready.
You know, Terry, it's one of those things that, I mean, obviously I think ice fishing is becoming so popular, it's one of the more anticipated sports. So, you know, I think hunting season oftentimes creeps up with us because summer is, you know, it's fun and it's busy and there's so much to do. And I think hunting creeps up on us a lot. Ice is one of those things that, you know, your major retailers, like your Bass Pro, they've had ice gear out for 6 weeks now. But regardless, a lot of us really don't think it's going to start until December. And even early December is early for us. And all of a sudden this year, you know, it's October and guys have been fishing the lakes that you're willing to hike into. You know, the lake's at 13,000 feet. It's a little bit of a chore getting there. But those guys have been on that ice for 2 weeks, which is not normal, but I'd say it, you know, it's anticipated. But again, it's a smaller population of people willing to hike up there. But all of a sudden last week, literally, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, we had extreme cold and some of the normal fisheries built ice. And it was one of those shockers to us. I can tell you that I went to Spinney on the 31st for the closure of boating. I was in my boat. I was excited to pound on those big rainbows. I pull up and literally half of Spinney is frozen to where I, you know, they had to close the boat docks, you know, for safety reasons. I was not able to launch my boat Thursday. I went down to check it out and I was able to walk on the ice on Spinney. You know, it had walkable ice, and you're seeing a lot of the high country to where, you know, the main bodies of water are still open, but the coves, the bays have ice that guys are walking on. And again, if the temperatures continue, we're going to continue to see more and more ice build. Now, you know, at Spinney, when I was there that day, it was negative 10 that morning. We are going to warm up, so a lot of this ice is going to be short-lived. Where guys are fishing it today, they might not be able to next week. But regardless, getting temps that cold, get the water temperature to where we need, get that water dense, and I think it's going to be an early ice season, whether it continues from where it is right now or we thaw and then we start again. But regardless, ice is on the brain without a doubt. And you pull up the social media forums, ice is the talk. And, yeah, it's exciting to see.
Well, you talk about social media. I posted that you and I were going to talk some ice fishing and ice fishing safety today. And then I pulled up a chart that I've gotten from a couple different departments of, you know, like the DNR in Minnesota and the parks in Iowa and Colorado State Parks. It's just a chart where I said, you know, here's recommendations for new clear ice and what it'll support. It went viral, Nate. I mean, I posted it on Halloween thinking, you know, people are going to be doing things on Halloween. So I want to put something out there telling you're going to be on. We're going to talk about it, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time. So we'll maybe get, you know, a couple thousand reaches, right? Tens of thousands.
Yep.
and all across the country,
there's no doubt ice is on the brain.
Well, and I want to talk about some of the freezing, some ice safety. And then I want to talk about some open water opportunities too. But first of all, let's kind of go around and talk about maybe a few of the places where, you know, even though we're going to get some warm weather down here, the sun is getting lower and lower in the sky. We're going to get colder nighttime temperatures. We're not going to lose a lot of ice, maybe on the Front Range, but, you know, elevations like Spinney, Red Feathers, North Park, everything iced over this week. Now, it capped, wasn't walkable yet, but no shore fishing or a boat fishing. What's 11 Mile doing?
You know, 11 Mile, for the most part, the main body of water is wide open. The bays did freeze. Now, not a lot of guys are walking on it, but you know, you see some guys kind of poking around. But I would say 11 Mile is not the best just because it's wide open. Places like Terryall capped. Again, I don't want to say go there. I don't want to say it's fishable, but there are places at Terryall that guys are standing on ice. Again, I don't know if it's situation where you want to stand in 2 feet of water and catch rainbows and, you know, be safe. But, you know, places like Terryoff Cap, all of those smaller bodies of water that are protected from wind are the fisheries that have ice. So the biggest thing to think about is look at the aerial shots of the lake. You know, 11 miles in a wide open valleys, it got hit pretty hard with wind. Had we not had wind on two of the nights last week, we probably would have capped 100%. You know, again, I think it would open up, but it capped. Spain, the half of the lake that's protected from the wind, capped hard. So you're really looking at the kind of the topography of the land around it. And if those areas are not getting hit with wind, more than likely, if they're in higher elevation, they got some good ice. So you're thinking about all those type fisheries. I heard a lot of reports about Georgetown. I did not see it personally. Again, I don't want to spread rumors, but I heard a lot of guys talking about portions of Georgetown. I heard a bunch of guys talking about portions of Evergreen, which is very low for us. I know Soda Lakes, not big soda that you can fish, but the water ski lake, it capped 100%, which is down in town, which is pretty cool to see. But if you're looking for those opportunities, you're looking for smaller bodies of water that are protected by wind, and that's going to be your opportunities for now. But again, you know, I hate these talks because I feel like we beat it up. We talk about ice safety and all this stuff so much, but it is one of those things that, you know, there's so many new anglers that are out here listening to us. This time of year, I mean, ice is always changing. In January, I always say, hey, even though you're here last week, check the ice again. But this time of year, it is changing drastically. So every day we could tell you that there's good ice on a place now, and by the time you go tomorrow, it might not be. So it does change fast, for the better or for the worse. So just always this time of year, really be cautious. And with that said, you know, it does. Ice builds about 10 times faster than it goes away. You know, these ice build ice that, or the lakes build ice that, you know, you can stand on, this what we call fishable, you know, very quickly, and it does not go away. We all know that. We're all spring anglers that are anticipating ice off. You know, and it can be 90 degrees or 80 degrees and that ice stays. So again, ice stays longer than it does as far as in the melting phase. So we like that. So as we're building now, as long as the wind doesn't rip it up, you know, more than likely we do build quick, especially with the shorter days, nighttime cold temps. Again, it doesn't get warm enough till 10, and you know, it just works out with the angles of the sun that we are building ice in a lot of places, and more than likely we'll keep it, but it does change fast. So keep up on those changes.
Well, we will have, it looks like, fishable ice in a lot of areas, even if you have to drive a little bit very soon, much earlier than normal. I'm usually looking the third or fourth week, usually sometime around Thanksgiving, which is late this year, by the way, so it's a different gauge. And that's what I usually try to plan. But Brad Peterson and I were talking, and I think the earliest we've been out on the Front Range is November 4th or 5th, and that's right around the corner. But it is a year where we could build early ice. I think you and I would agree, one of the best tools to use to check ice this time of the year is, I don't venture out without a spud bar.
I'm 100% with you, Terry. The spud bar is my life. You know, and I got to say that I am one of those people that unfortunately had a rough starting of my ice fishing career. I broke through the ice several times. I'm not proud of it, but I believe I went through six times between Colorado and Minnesota, then I had one more. So I've had seven total go-throughs. I've had six that were a little rough. You know, our good friend of ours, he unfortunately moved away to Oregon, but a good friend of ours, Jeff Looney, used to constantly be on me. He's like, Nate, carry a spud bar. And I'm like, I am not carrying that heavy thing. I got enough gear. I'm not doing it. And after the seventh time, I started to mature a little bit.
Quick learner.
I'm like, you know what? It might. Well, I started to. I didn't say I'm fully there, but I started to grow up a little bit. I carried a spud bar, and I think I am officially 14 years safe of going through now. So I've been dry for 14 years now that I started carrying a spud bar. It's a life-changing tool. It's one of those things that, and this time of year, you know, number one, it keeps you safe. If you use a spud bar correctly, you will not go swimming, because again, if you carry a heavy enough spud bar and you hit it hard enough, you know, I know that when I am spudding, if my spud bar is not breaking through, I am 100% safe. But again, you have to judge your spud bar to your strike. You have to know how far it's penetrating, and you know what that situation is like. But for me personally, when I slam that spud bar, I can tell the ice density. I can tell the ice quality, the way it sounds, the way it feels. I can read that bad ice with my spud bar, and it keeps myself and all of our guests on guided trips very safe. So again, it's a tool that I need. And to be honest, Terry, for about the first 3 weeks of the ice season, I don't even carry an auger. I mean, I have every Jiffy auger made at my disposal, and half the time I'm just carrying my spud bar, because as long as that ice is, you know, that 4 or 5 inches of that good, you know, ice that you can stand on, my spud bar rips through that so quickly. I carry the big Jiffy Mille Lacs ice chisel. So if I have less than that 5-6 inches, I just use my spud bar. So I have one piece of equipment. It's my safety gear as well as my hole making device. And it's a great combination there.
Well, you're absolutely right. I was going to bring that up if you didn't, that a lot of times on early ice, I use a spud bar, and then I can make whatever size hole I want. You and I can argue about that later in the ice fishing season because we both have a different view on that. But you're right. The spud bar is all you need to carry. By the way, if folks want to see the proper use of a spud bar, if you go to my YouTube channel, The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom, and go to the Ice Fishing North Michigan Reservoir, I do a little bit on electronics, a little bit on small jigs, but I start the first maybe 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes of that show looking at early ice, looking at the different colors of the ice because it froze in a couple different layers, and then using a spud bar and showing how I use it to check the ice and how I measure the ice even after I get a hole in it and things like that. So it's a great one. You know, Nate, we have a saying, you and I, and that saying is that there's no such thing as safe ice, but if you use common sense, ice fishing can be very safe. And
absolutely,
that's,
you know what I mean? It is what it is. You have to be cautious. I mean, things do happen and conditions change. But you look at myself and, you know, we host events with 1,000 people standing in one area. Ice is a very strong material. It is so much stronger than anybody gives it credit for. It is an extremely strength matter when it comes to it. But again, you have to know a lot of things. And, you know, when we talk about ice safety, you know, again, everybody talks about thickness, and we I don't want to say we discourage that because it matters, but ice quality is 1,000 times more important than ice thickness. And I actually I've done quite a bit of consulting with DNR agencies and things like that, because there's no gauge of it. There's no measuring device to say, okay, how much, you know, strength will this hold? But throughout holding our tournaments, a lot of people have put some push behind us, you know, what is good ice? How much does it hold? Things like that. And, you know, when we get ready for an ice fishing tournament, we actually do core samples. So we drill like an eye bolt into the ice, take a chainsaw, cut out a square around it, pull that out. We actually look at the quality of the ice. And when you pull it out, you can see when you have bad ice, you'll see the good ice in the middle, and then you'll see ice rot above and below that center core. So we do ice samples before, core samples before our tournaments, and we make sure we're on that top quality strong ice. So again, ice quality is more important. And right now, your quality is at a peak. It's good, hard, cold ice. We haven't had sun beating it up. We haven't UV. We haven't had rot. But again, it's one of those things. If we do get into those warmer days, you're really looking at quality versus quantity when it comes to ice. So think about all those things when you get out there.
Now, I want to spend about another minute or two on ice fishing, and then I want to real quick talk about the open water, because we're going to have some good open water yet on the Front Range yet. But one of the things I want to talk about is, when you get out ice fishing, you know, we can talk about the walleyes and things, but they're probably not going to be available for a while. It's going to be higher lakes, smaller bodies of water that are stocked with trout or have holdover or resident populations. And the biggest mistake people make on this early ice trout fishing is fishing too deep.
I could not agree more, Terry. The biggest thing for me, if you want a question about catching big trout right now, it is shallow water with big baits. That is 100% the combination that is going to catch you more fish at the end of the day. So when I get on this early ice, I don't care if it's South Park, North Park, it would be rare for me to fish deeper than 5 feet of water. I'm focused on that 3 to 5 feet. You have kokanee spawning in a bunch of these lakes. So you have browns and rainbows up in there feeding on those eggs. You have the late spawning browns that are still up shallow. There's food shallow. There's opportunity shallow. So those big fish are shallow. Even a lot of fish are shallow. So I, number one, I'm in 5 foot or less. And then the other thing, these fish still have a ton of energy. There's no lack of oxygen yet. The water temperature, even though to us we think it's cold, it is right in the wheelhouse of activity for those big trout. So I use a bigger bait. When you drop down a rafting gear, a little one-inch tube jig, the fish love it. It's the right size, but the visibility, the profile of that bait, those fish don't see it from a ways off. This early ice, when these fish are full of energy, I love going to that 4 or 5 foot of water. I'll drop down a 2, 2.5, 3 inch, 3.5 inch tube jig. You know, natural colors. They can see that bait from 20, 30 feet away. It makes a big stamp and it pulls those fish in. Now, as we start getting into, you know, late December, January, that's when I start going down to your traditional ice jigs, your inch and a half tubes, all your small baits, your little spoons. But right now, throwing those bigger baits creates that profile. They can see it. They have the energy, and boy, you catch a lot of fish with that combination.
All right, we only got about 2-3 minutes, Nate. I'm still hopeful of getting my boat out. Dan Swanson and I later on this hour are going to talk the spoon jigging bite, mostly and how he uses electronics. What are you looking at for as far as open water?
You know, we are on fire right now with our walleye bite. I do have to say one more comment. I just got a text from somebody. Our ice addiction tickets, obviously our ice tournament, we're talking ice. Our tickets go on sale November 5th, so that is this Tuesday, I believe, is when our tickets go on sale. So again, we have a huge $10,000 first place prize per event. So every event, we're giving out $10,000 cash for first. No gimmicks. You don't have to catch a tagged fish. You don't have to catch a limit of fish. You don't have to do anything. The heaviest single fish of any species is going home with $10,000 cash. So you can go to our website, tightlineoutdoors.com, but just make sure you mark your calendars. 8 a.m. on November 5th is when those tickets go on sale. So again, just doing a little public service thing right there. So make sure you put that in your calendars.
Am I eligible?
Absolutely.
Oh.
We'd love to have you out.
I haven't fished an ice fishing tournament in 100 years.
I think we could all use 10,000 cash. It'd be great. I'm going to make you take me to dinner, though, if you win it.
Okay. So tell me, open water.
Open water. So, guys, we have walleyes right now, and I think what you said about Dan, I would definitely listen to that segment. Right now, our fish are gathered up. Our bait fish finally dropped down now that our water's in the low 50s, high 40s. So all our bait fish, your shad, your spot-tail shiners, all that bait is gathered. So your walleyes are gathered as well. So it's officially the fall bite. More than likely, those fish are going to be in somewhat deeper water. The shallowest fish I'm finding right now are in about 14 to 16 feet at your Chatfields, Cherry Creeks, places like that. I have a few shallow, but for the most part, that 14, 16 feet is where I'm finding them. And I'm finding them all the way down to the mid-30s, so 30 feet, 35 feet. But they are gathered up. When you find one, you find dozens or hundreds. So for me personally, I am living on that graph. I am not fishing unless I see them on my fish finder. So drive around, find those fish. If they're spread out on a flat, I'm trolling crankbaits for them. That trolling bite at Chatfield is still on fire, lead core and cranks. If they're on structure, on drop-offs, you know, sunken islands, things like that, that's where I'm fishing jigs, fishing jigging wraps, fishing blade baits. And catching a ton of fish on that. And then with that, the cold water, if you don't have a boat, people are like, hey, I don't have a fish finder. I'm on shore. The low light periods of the day are key. Those bait fish are coming up in shallow water at night. So if you do not have a boat, do not have that, you are still in the game very, very much so. Throwing jerk baits in low light periods of the day, dams, points, things like that. There are guys catching a lot of fish and a lot of big fish at night right now. So again, if you don't have a boat, focus on the last hour of light and the first couple hours of dark. That jerkbait bite is going very strong.
All right, we got to go, my friend. If people want more information, it's tightlineoutdoors.com and Tightline on Facebook, right?
That's it.
All right, my friend, thank you. And you and the twins enjoy the birthday, and I think it's just a great way to celebrate and thank them for being such great patriots.
Absolutely. We'll definitely do that. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks. Nate Zielinski. Bye. Great, great, great contributor. All right. We'll take a quick time out. We'll have more outdoors on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.